Is there any place you'd rather be than here? Anything you'd rather be doing? Seriously. Well, it's obvious you're here. this is a blessing, isn't it? If you'd have told me when I was 17, 18, 19, 20 years old that I was going to drive 7 hours on the weekend, spend my Friday and Saturday hearing about 8 hours of preaching, I'd say, you're crazy. But there's nothing I'd rather do. That's a good sign, isn't it? The Lord not only gives, when he saves somebody, a new creature, he not only gives a belief for the truth, but a love for it. You love what you're doing, don't you? Love it. And John, you know when you've been blessed by a message, when you're preaching second, and you were blessed by that message, you could listen to it. We're thinking about your own message. That's good. Enjoyed that song, dude. Thank you so much. He wrote that. Great. Charles Spurgeon once said that roast beef and potatoes weigh heavy on the hearts of the hearers. So I hope you can stay awake for a little bit, okay? One more message tonight. One more. Go with me to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. There's my notes. I couldn't. We're sitting up here. Couldn't find them as well. Psalm 116. For what it's worth, I got to tell this on your pastor. He and Kevin were back. They were down visiting us. When was that? Last year sometime, was it? September or something like that. And he asked me if I'd come preach in the conference here. I said, well, sure. I believe I will. I can. And I never heard from him again until I saw the schedule and my name was on. Mindy said, "Do you know you're preaching for Clay?" No. I'm here. That's the effectual call, anybody. Psalm 116. This is verses 5 and 6. Read these with me. I'll try to be brief. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. He says, I was brought low, and he helped me. The Lord preserveth the simple. That's the title of this message. The Lord saveth the simple. Now, simple, the word simple can be used several ways. First, it can be used meaning easy, something that's not difficult or uncomplicated. It can mean singular, or that's just one way, such as the gospel, the singular message of Christ, the simplicity that's in Christ. Salvation, simply put, is in Jesus Christ alone, simple. But in the Old Testament, and this meaning right here, every time it means one thing. Every time. Simple means silly. It means foolish. It means childish. It means easily fooled, easily influenced, gullible, naive, weak-minded, feeble-minded, and if you can take it, it means stupid. One time, Brother David was preaching for me, and he used that word stupid, and he apologized for it. You remember that, David? He said, that's not politically correct today. But I'm going to use it extensively. Because I feel pretty stupid. Stupid, the word means dull of scent. Don't have good sense. That's the way I act a lot of time, don't you? In other words, the Lord saveth the stupid. Preserveth the simple. Now, we're all born that way. We're all born stupid. We grow up, and if the Lord doesn't do something for us, do a work of grace, we'll become proud and heady and high-minded and haughty and self-conceited, and the Scriptures calls it vainglorious because we have nothing to be conceited about. Nothing to be glorious about. Nothing to be proud about, because we are nothing. We know nothing. We can do nothing. Yet we think we are. That's how stupid we are. Our Lord said, without me, you can do what? Nothing. By the grace of God, we are what we are. What do we have not received? Dull of hearing. You know, Hebrews talks about that. It ought to be teachers. It ought to be dull of hearing. That's us, but stupid. Unless the Lord does something for them. This seems to be the recurring lesson that we're learning here, isn't it? If the Lord doesn't save us, we won't be saved. If the Lord doesn't preserve us and keep us, we're going to destroy ourselves. We're going to destroy ourselves. If the Lord doesn't teach us, we're going to remain ignorant and lost and stupid without knowledge, without understanding, without God, without Christ. So I'm going to keep this simple. Okay, I'm a simple man and often stupid. And I'm going to keep this K-I-S-S, okay? You got 2 points, very simply. The merciful Savior and the simple sinner. The merciful Savior and the simple sinner, okay? This is who the Lord is, how the Lord is, and who He saved. All right, the merciful Savior. Look at verse 5 again with me. It says, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Gracious is the Lord. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Gracious. The Lord is full of grace. Brother Fortner preached on that, didn't he? Our Lord's grace. That's a wonderful message, wasn't it? But we haven't waded ankle deep in the subject, in the ocean of God, the fullness of His grace, have we? The Lord is gracious. He's full of grace, all grace, every grace. The word gracious can mean tenderness. It means kindness. The Lord is very tender, the Scripture says. Very tender. Because He's kind. He's compassionate. Compassionate. He's patient. Long-suffering. That's the grace of the Lord. Long-suffering. Peter said, take into account, keep this in mind, that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. One time the Lord said to His disciples who were acting stupidly, like they didn't know anything, He said, how long must I suffer with you? How long did He? All their lives. Because He's long-suffering. That's our salvation. How long is He going to put up with us? As long as it takes. Having loved His own, He loved them to the end. He's long-suffering. That's our salvation. The Lord is pitiful. We use that word wrongly today. I think we say that about someone. They're pitiful. No, what that means is full of pity. Our Lord is pitiful. He's full of pity. Full of pity. We're not really pitiable. But He's pitiful. He's full of pity. He pities His people. Those that fear Him. Those that fear Him. The Lord is thoughtful. David said, your thoughts toward me are more than I can number. He said, it's too wonderful for me to even think about. The Lord is courteous. Courteous means to think about the other one before yourself. That is Him, isn't it? Courteous. The Lord is considerate. The Lord is generous. Psalm 1, blessed is the man. Blessed man. That has to speak of our Lord. And our Lord is the one that said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And no one gave like He did. So He's the most blessed man. Generous. Gift. Giver. More blessed to give than to receive. The Lord is gracious. He delights to show mercy. Oh, He's plenteous in redemption. The Lord is gracious. Look at the next thing. The Lord is merciful. The Lord is merciful. The righteous, that is. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Righteous. Our Lord, everything He does is right. That's what Brother John said then. Everything the Lord does is right. All He says is right. He is righteous. He's pure. He's honest. He's true. He can be believed. He should be believed. No one else should be. Let God be true and every man a liar. Trust the Lord. He's righteous. He's right. Everything He does is right. Things are right because He does them. He just doesn't do things that are right. They're right because He does them. That's how we're going to have peace. Resting His righteousness. He does right. Abraham was worried about his nephew Lot, wasn't he? He was concerned about Lot living down there in Sodom. And do you have loved ones that don't know the Lord. And Abraham was concerned about Lot's soul, wasn't it? And he pleaded with the Lord, not only on behalf of Lot, but maybe his family and others that lived in Sodom. Isn't that a lesson for us? We shouldn't want to call down fire on sinners. At any rate, Abraham was pleading on behalf of for Lot, his nephew. And you remember what he kept saying, if there be 50, if there be 10, he got down to 10 righteous. And finally he settled himself and he got peace with this thought: shall not the judge of the earth do right? He's going to do right, isn't he? By you, by your children, whatever it is, that Eli, when they came to him with that news, the news of his two sons that were going to be killed, he said, it's the Lord. He's right. He's righteous. He does what's right. Whatever he does, it's right. There's a verse in Luke that he says, in your patience, possess your souls. In other words, like you pray, be still and know that I'm God. That whatever I do is right. And you're going to see. Someday you're going to see it was all right. Righteous. He's right. Just in all he does. This will keep your mind. It'll keep your soul with peace and comfort. You won't charge God foolishly with your lips. That's what kept Job, didn't it? Job said, the Lord gave. The Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's righteous. He's righteous. Oh, look at verse 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Yea, our God is merciful. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. And our God is merciful. Yea. It says yea. Yes, that's what that means. It almost sounds like a cheer, doesn't it? Yea. We go to a ball game, somebody scores a touchdown, we say, yay. That's what we ought to say when we hear about our God's grace and mercy and righteousness, shouldn't we? Yay. Your dad, I used to hear him say, Adam Sharon, when somebody preaching a message, something he likes, say, yeah. That's right. Yay, that's what amen means. That's right. That's the way it is. I'm glad it is. I agree. Yea, our God is merciful. He's merciful. He delights to show mercy. Scripture says the Lord takes pity in them that fear him and them that hope in his mercy. People, that's all I've got to hope in is his mercy. He takes great pleasure in showing mercy. I remember when I was working on the railroad. I worked on a railroad for about 12 years. Started out as a brakeman. And I would have to walk the trains and check the trains out, walk many a mile all night long and the day, and walk many, many miles. And often, always alone. But as a young believer, I remember one night I was walking in the middle of the night, had my brakeman's lantern, you know, and I was feeling so sinful and so wretched, so rotten. I was just feeling so bad. I was feeling like I wasn't a child of God, and I was just down, cast down. And I had a Bible in my back pocket, and I took it out, and I was needing some kind of help. And I got my lantern, and I just opened it up, and it just opened up to a scripture where the Lord said to his disciples, "Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And I don't think I touched the ground, Russell, going all the way back to the caboose. Gave me such cheer. Merciful. Our God is merciful. He delights to show mercy. That's what I need, and that's what he's full of. That's what I need the most, and that's what he's full of. Yay. Yay. I remember when I was a boy, go to Bible conferences and went to Sylacauga, Alabama. That's about like Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Sylacauga, I'm going there by choice, Don. We're going down there by choice now. But Sylacauga, Alabama, and there was a dear brother down there, preacher, pastor, named Henry Breedlove. And I'd go down there as a boy, and my dad would be preaching, Henry, Farrell Griswold and other men be preaching. And I had to sit on the front row. That's where preachers' kids sit. And behind me, old Brother Henry. You remember. Every now and then, he'd just laugh. And Jeff, I thought, I didn't hear any joke. Somebody tell a joke? That old man was laughing with a holy laughter. When somebody would say something was such good news to him, he's just rejoicing. I didn't know what was going on. I do now. This is like Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. The Lord hath done good things for us. Great things for us. And we're glad. And I catch myself doing that all the time. Laughing. Yay. The Lord is merciful. There's something to cheer about it. Be of good cheer. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is righteous. He's going to do what's right. The Lord is merciful, full of mercy. And look at this. And this is who he saved, and that's why he saved. Verse 6, these people. Verse 6, the Lord preserveth the simple. The stupid. The silly, the gullible, the foolish. You know, that's what he calls men and women by nature, foolish. Foolish in the Proverbs. Go with me, Proverbs 1. Look at how this starts out. Go over to Proverbs chapter 1 with me. It says, Proverbs 1, verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction. And verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. That's who he's talking to. Over in chapter 8, he says, oh, ye simple ones, listen to me. Ye simple, understand wisdom. Ye fools, be of an understanding heart. We're so foolish, aren't we? So gullible, so naive, so easily led astray. One time his disciple, well, after he arose from the grave, walking on the road to Emmaus, remember? And they were down, they were sad, and he walked along with them, and he said, why are you sad? And they said, we thought we trusted, you know, Jesus. And that. It's like they'd never heard a thing, Brother John, wasn't it? And he said, oh, fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet, ought not Christ to have suffered? Haven't you heard anything? That's who the Lord saves. Slow, dim-witted, dull, foolish sinners. Huh? These preachers would admit, if you're honest. Is there an honest preacher in here? He'll admit that if this wasn't our job, if this wasn't necessity wasn't laid upon us, if we didn't have to sit down and study like we do, we wouldn't know, we wouldn't be able to quote half the scripture. And we wouldn't do it. Right? It's just the way it is. Take heart. Take heart. It was Rob Keller was asking me before the service, he says, what's your text? I said, Psalm 116, I forget. So I'll tell you later. What's our hope? What we know? What we retain? What we come to an understanding of? It's who knows us. Who remembers us. We're going to lose our mind. Alzheimer's, something's going to happen to us, aren't we? What's our hope? That he knows us. He won't forget us. That's it. The Lord preserveth the simple. He preserveth the simple sinner. Now listen to me. It's a little bit long. This will be short. There's some that are born simple. They're born with their minds are not fully developed. We have a young couple whose son, only son, well, they have three daughters, and their last, their son was born with brain damage. And he'll never fully develop. His mind won't. There are many like that. Many like that. Down syndrome and so forth. Okay, their minds never fully developed. They're simple-minded, they're feeble-minded, Their brain won't develop. Their thoughts won't develop. They'll be like that all their life. The Lord saves every one of those people. Oh, yeah. They won. Where do you get that? Right here. Huh? Right there. In fact, he said, if you don't become like that, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Didn't it? If you don't become as a little, he told his disciples that one day. If one of the few times I believe our Lord got mad at his disciples, got angry with them, was when they were arguing about who was going to be the greatest. And he took that child and sat him on his knee, and he said, if you don't become like this little child, you're not going to see the kingdom of heaven. You're not going to be in the kingdom of heaven. I take that quite literally. Quite literally. How many babies have been aborted? How many children have died in infancy? Huh? Millions and billions. They're with the Lord. Aren't they, Brother Fortner? Yes, sir. The Lord saveth the simple, the childlike. Yes, he does. Christ had to die for them, didn't he? He did. He had to pay for their sin. They're born sinners, and they suffer death because of sin. Because of sin. But they don't sin after the similitude of Adam's transgression. That's what Romans 5 said. They're not willful rebels against God. And I'm not making allowances or compromising the gospel for anybody that rejects the truth. Anybody that willfully, knowingly rejects the truth is going to perish, going to be judged by God for. But these little children, these little babies and all, and there's no age of accountability. I'm not saying that at all. But the Lord does right. And these little ones and these simple-minded people, they're with the Lord. They're with the Lord. And for the life of me, I don't understand men and women that have the attitude that... Well, one time the disciples wanted to call down fire on some people, and the Lord said, you don't know what manner of man you are. That's a wrong attitude. He said, I didn't come to destroy men's lives. I came to save them. And for the life of me, I don't understand why people want to commit children to hell anyway. Do you? And, you know, we're saved by grace. You say, well, they got to believe. Let me ask you something. Are you saved because you believe? Are you? Or do you believe because you're saved? Which comes life first? Life or faith? Huh? Those babies are going to wake up and they're going to believe all right in glory. Oh, they're going to believe. And they're going to be singing the songs of repentance unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in their own blood. Yes, they are. We're not saved because of our faith. We're saved because Christ died. Because God justified. Faith just the result of that gift or that life he's given up. Can I show you a scripture maybe you haven't seen concerning this? Over in Job chapter 3, there are many scriptures. I've heard many men preach on this, and Brother Fortner got a great, wonderful message on that. But Job chapter 3, and you know David, and this may give somebody some real hope in here. I know some ladies who've aborted their children when they were young, and they made that horrible mistake, and they live with those terrible regrets. And I can give them great comfort that they're going to see that child someday. That they meant it for evil. Let me ask you this. All those children that died when Herod was trying to kill the Christ, that died for him? You mean to tell me that they're going to suffer hell for dying in Christ's stead? Is everybody Christ died for saved? What about those that die for him? Look at this, Job chapter 3. The Lord wouldn't give us these comforts. Wouldn't give, like when David said concerning his infant child, he said, he'll not come back to us, I'll go to him. He would not give that comfort to anyone. He wouldn't give a false hope to somebody. But look at this in Job 3. This is the oldest book in the in the Bible, isn't it? Job chapter 3, and Job was lamenting the fact that he was born. In verse 11, Job said, "Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me, or why the breasts that I should suck? If I had," he's saying, if I had died in infancy or at birth, verse 13, "now should I have lain still and been quiet? I should have slept and I'd been at rest." If I'd have died as a baby, aborted or whatever, he said, "I'd be at rest." There you have it. The Lord preserveth the simple. Titus chapter 3, Job 3, Titus 3. Look at this. Here it is, very simply put. We're saved not by what we've done or what we know, but by who knows us and who's what he's done for us. Look at Titus chapter 3. You know this. Verse 3. Verse 2. "Speak evil of no man, be no brawler, gentle, showing all meekness unto all men." Show all meekness unto all men. "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." How? "By the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And justified by his grace, we're made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Any mention of anything you did in that? It's what all he did for us. The Lord, salvation is of the Lord. The Lord preserveth. The Lord saveth. And in our text, it says he saveth, he preserveth the simple, the foolish. Is that you? Do you feel yourself to be nothing but a sinner? Foolish? We sing that song, "Once I was foolish and sin ruled my heart." Well, sometimes I feel like I'm still foolish and sin ruled my heart. The Lord preserveth the simple. The Lord preserveth the simple. Those that simply trust him. Those that simply trust him. Do you? What is your hope? Really. Don't look to anything you are, anything you've done. It's all your hope in Jesus Christ. When I talk to people privately, this is the question I always ask them. What is your hope of eternal life? When I hear somebody's religious, and it doesn't take long to find out, I ask them that question. What is your hope of eternal life? What is your hope of eternal life? If you can say from your heart what we just heard, "I believe," like Peter said, "no, I'm sure," "that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He's my hope. He's my righteousness. He's my sanctification. He's my redemption. He's my salvation. He's my all. Christ is my all. He's my only." Is that your simple confession of faith? Is it? The Lord preserveth the simple. That's pretty simple. The Lord preserveth the simple, the sincere, the honest, those with no guile, like a little child, no hypocrisy, but they really do trust him. They really do trust him. They really do look to him. They really do depend on him. Is that you? Like a little child. The Lord preserveth the simple, those with a simple appreciation for and rejoicing in simple things like mercy, like what you've been hearing. Huh? If you ever grow tired of hearing the gospel of God's sovereign grace and sovereign mercy and Christ dying for sinners, if you ever grow tired of that, woe is unto you. You've never really heard it. You've never really heard it. But if it goes sweeter to grows sweeter to you, more precious to you, that's a good sign. A simple appreciation, like a little child that delights in anything given to it, anything done for. A little child delights in things that it learned. Oh, my. Mindy and I, we used to work with the Special Olympics. Winter Olympic. And we'd go take these people, simple-minded people, to skiing, okay. And that many of them were in their 30s, grown men and young ladies and women. But most of them had the mentality of a child, 5 or 6 years old. And I Russell, I was in charge of one fella. He weighed about 250 pounds. And Kenny was his name. And I was picking him up off the snow all day long. It wore me out. But he'd just smile. He'd just happy. It's everything. And one time I was in the room, I was a chaperone, and I was brushing my teeth, and I felt somebody looking at me. And I looked around, and two of these young men in their 30s looking at me. What do we do? I had to tell them like little children. Well, brush your teeth and use the bathroom and wash your face. And at any rate, there was a man there that was in his 50s. His name was John Brown. John Brown has Down syndrome. He's only about 4 foot, 6 inches tall. John Brown. Down syndrome. And if you've known any Down syndrome people, they're generally always smiling, always sweet and kind, aren't they? Huh? And he was always smiling, always upbeat, always kind, always enthusiastic, always happy, always. Well, he came in one day. And he said he was so excited he'd gotten a job. They gave him a job, thank Goodwill. And he came in and he said, I get to go to work. I get to go to work. How often do you say that? If everybody said that, we wouldn't have national debt. Wouldn't have unemployment. He said, I get to go to work. And then he said, and they pay me too. Lord preserveth the simple. Shouldn't we say, I get to go to church. I get to hear the gospel. I get to be a part of the saints. That's what you felt when you first heard the gospel. You thought, I don't belong with these good people here, but I'm sure glad to be here. I get to be in the kingdom of God. And he pays me to. I receive from the Lord double from all of my iniquity. Pays me what Christ earned. Doesn't he? Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yay! Our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. David said in closing, he said, I was brought low. And he helped me. If you don't know the circumstances of Psalm 34, David wrote Psalm 34. He wrote that right after, you remember the story when David acted like a madman? You remember that? David, this was the killer of Goliath. David, this was a man who fought armies single-handedly. David, this was that courageous, bold, true believer of the Lord. And one time he got so afraid that he acted like a madman. It said he was drooling and spittle was running down his beard. Remember that? And he was scratching on it. He lost his mind. He was out of his mind, acting like a blooming idiot. David, how could you act like that? Have you ever acted like that? Have you ever done something and thought, what was I thinking? It's out of my mind. Well, he wrote Psalm 34 after that. You need to read it for yourself. But now I think in verse 4 it says, David said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. I think he was saying, this poor excuse for a man, this poor excuse for a believer, this poor excuse for a child of God, this fickle, fallible, foolish, failing, silly, stupid sinner I cried unto the Lord, and he saved me. Why? Because the Lord is gracious. That's why. The Lord preserveth the simple. Is that you? I pray that he, may the Lord have mercy on him.
Number 228. My faith has found a resting place. Let's all stand together and sing hymn number 228.